afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Sunday, the 30th day of January, year of our Lord, 2011, welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, it's been a while. I can't say the last time I had two guests in 2 hours. And that's what we're going to be doing this show. Our guest the first hour, I met this gentleman. He was a co-host with me on Dr. Deagle's show 2 weeks ago Friday, Mr. Alexander Bachman. Mr. Bachman resides much of the time in Mexico, reads, writes, and speaks Spanish fluently, and of course is fluent in English as well, and possibly some other languages. Alexander's had quite a life and a bio that has helped him achieve some unusual things, which is why we're going to be talking to Alexander. The second hour, we're going to have Lucas on, a frequent guest. Lucas has an update. He's done some research that I think is very significant. And it's going to be a fast 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen, a very fast 2 hours. We're going to be covering a lot of territory. And you may want to keep a pencil and paper handy to make some notes, because there'll be a lot of information thrown at you, just a lot of information. I didn't want to bring Alexander on here before the first break and have to be cut off. But I think you'll get a lot out of it. I'm looking forward to it. And it will be some of the best educational material that are most pertinent that you can imagine, considering the topics that we'll be talking about. And it will be just a great couple of hours of talk radio here on Republic Broadcasting. A lot of things going on, not just Egypt, of course, about to implode. Albania, some other countries that have high numbers of Muslims living in them, having severe social civic problems, mostly due to the economy, the skyrocketing price of food in some of these countries. And here's our first break. We'll be back with our guest just after the break. Stay tuned.
With John Moore. Now, if you want to talk to John live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 30th day of January. Alexander, are you there, sir?
I am right here, John. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Well, it's a pleasure having you, sir. Now, tell us where you're physically located, if you would, please.
I'm physically located 68 miles south of the Tijuana-San Diego border in the port city of Ensenada, Baja California, Mexico.
Okay. Is that a deep water port, by the way?
Yes, it's it turns out that they did the dragging in the port, and now it's a deep water port. Yes, it is.
What ships, registry ships, come in and out of there?
Well, basically, they're Chinese ships with goods that come in here, and they're transported via trucks to the border in Otay Mesa on the border with San Diego. Now, recently, I spoke with, this was about 2 years ago, I spoke with a businessman here who verified another information that I got in Tijuana from another businessman that was doing deals with the Chinese, and they both verify the same story. I mean, we have these super highways being built down in Mexico, made of concrete. We have four lanes on each side. I mean, these are enormous structures. They go on for miles and miles. They're not being used for trucks, for Mexican trucks whatsoever. They're being monitored by Mexican military. We have roadblocks in every highway in all of Mexico right now controlled by the Mexican military. And you have to stop your vehicle, you have to put your hands in the air, and you're asked questions before proceeding on your trip. If you don't stop, you're shot at, grenades are thrown at you, etc. So Mexico is in a state that is very difficult right now. With respect to the highways, which is very odd, is that this businessman confirmed to me. We were talking about the economy, about how China was growing, it's the biggest economy in the world, and so on. And he came out and said, you know who built these highways that go all the way from Ensenada all the way into San Diego? And I said, no, the Chinese military, he said. And I told him why, for the invasion that's coming. So this businessman does dealings with China on a daily basis. And he knows, he's privy to this information. So it's obvious that there's been a huge investment in revamping the highway structures in south of the border in Mexico in order for, obviously, a military incursion in the future by the Chinese military.
Okay, now, you just described an 8-lane highway, 4 lanes each direction, interstate quality, going, that's what, 68 miles up to San Diego?
Up to San Diego on the eastern side of San Diego via the Otay border.
Yes, sir. Now, who's using this road now? Is it being used at all?
Civilians are using it, but there's limited access to that area. It goes around on the eastern side of Tijuana up to the border. Supposedly, it's to benefit the population to get faster to their destinations. And it has helped. I mean, it's south of Rosarito. It bifurcates south of Rosarito to the east at the military checkpoint, and that's where you can get to San Diego faster. It is faster in a way, but I don't see any trucks going through there. I just see normal vehicles going through there. That's odd because supposedly this was done in order for the NAFTA trade agreement. So it is strange in a way. I mean, the huge investment that was put into this. Also, we have huge highways in Mexico in all parts of Mexico being revamped, restructured, remodeled, freeways everywhere. Out of no apparent reason, when Mexico has always been in basically a cesspool when it comes to urban infrastructure. I mean, we've never had the justice done with our taxes. I mean, we pay lots of taxes, but we don't get any benefit from the government because the government is corrupt. Now, this goes to point out that the Mexican government has been investing a lot of money, of our money, into the ports of Mexico. And we're talking about very important structures that people have to be aware of, such as south of Ensenada, there's a project ongoing, which is called Punta Colonet or Colonet Point. This is about 140 miles south of Ensenada. It's basically a barren land, agricultural and fishing land, and it was bought off by the ex-president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, and Ernesto Zedillo, who's a Club of Rome member. They bought this area because there are huge gold mines there, but in order to create these super ports. Now, these super ports are ports that are going to be able to take in the new seventh-generation ships that come in from China. We're talking about ships that can contain up to 13,000 TEUs. These are the units or the containers that are then immediately transported via rail systems.
20-foot and 40-foot containers, yeah.
Yes, and right. We're talking about this port, which is being built right now, financed by the Chinese government. And when we talk about Chinese government, we talk about Chinese military, because it is still a military government.
Also,
we have the southern port of Lázaro Cárdenas. Now, Lázaro Cárdenas is located in the state of Michoacán. This is in the southwestern side of Mexico, above the state of Guerrero. This is where Acapulco is, so people can get an idea of this.
Right.
Now, this super port that's being built, it's already built. We're talking about leasing away a tremendous amount of acres, 185 acres, basically, just for like $23 million. Now, what's going on here is that this land is worth billions and hundreds of billions of dollars. And the Mexican government is just leasing it away for $23 million. Obviously, to this company called Kansas City Southern of Mexico, which is basically the privatization of all the railway systems back in 1999 in Mexico. Now, we found out on the Dr. Bill Deagle show that it turns out that one of the biggest investors inside this KSC operation, the Kansas City Southern of Mexico railway system, it turns out it's Bill Gates. So again, we see this this connection, you know, with the American elite, the American elite that has usurped the American government, the same as in Mexico. I mean, we live in a state where our countries have been taken. And it's very worrisome because we see these coalitions behind the scenes where our government is being used as an excuse in order to further an agenda that is very dangerous for the Christian-abiding citizens of the United States and of Mexico.
Absolutely. Now, while we're on a break there, Alexander, you were telling me about a conversation you had with a Mexican banker regarding the Russians attempting to purchase an entire state in northern Mexico.
Yes, we're talking about the state of Tamaulipas here, and I was sitting down in the bank.
Orient us. Where is that state regarding U.S. border?
Okay, Tamaulipas is exactly on the northeastern side. It's the most northeastern state of Mexico, south of Texas. This is on the border with Laredo, Texas.
Okay, that's what we need to know.
Tamaulipas is a huge state, and this state right now is under complete war. I mean, we're in total civil war there. Towns have been abandoned. The Zeta cartel, which has taken control of all operations inside the state, are ex-special forces trained at Fort Bragg by the United States government who went rogue back in the 90s and formed their own private cartel called the Zeta cartel. Now, these guys go into extortion, organized crime, you name it. I mean, these are the worst of the worst, and they are experts in psychological operations. They are experts in terrorizing the populations by beheading people, etc. Now, what I spoke with this manager at this bank here in Ensenada, he confirmed to me. I mean, he was very serious about it. We spoke for about 20 minutes. He told me, did you know that the Soviets tried to buy the state of Tamaulipas here and the state of Baja California, he also mentioned? They were under negotiation, but specifically they wanted the state of Tamaulipas. They wanted to buy it off the Mexican government in exchange for oil and money. So this is very interesting because when we put all these pieces together and what's going on right now and how these infrastructures are being built at a very high rate of speed, because it's not normal for Mexico to invest in highways, and all of a sudden we're getting all this new infrastructure everywhere, it's because something is going on behind the scenes.
Yes, sir. I'm just grabbing a map here real quick. I believe Interstate 35, it does. Interstate 35 comes up right through Laredo. And that's part of what we're talking about here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Laredo, Texas.
Exactly. They're preparing our highways to intersect with the American highways at perfect precision.
Well,
Otay Mesa has just been, the border crossing in San Diego has just been redesigned. There's a new freeway that's connecting right now. So all of this is part of that process of probably in the future eliminating the border, extending the movement of goods and shipments down from these superports via railway system. I mean, we're talking about a 6 railway system down in Lázaro Cárdenas being built, and specifically for toxic and dangerous materials, chemicals and such. Because Long Beach, after 9/11, there's a new law that's going into effect September of this year, 2011, where Long Beach, California, is not going to be able to bring in these containers with chemicals and dangerous toxic elements into the United States. So they're going to use the port of Lázaro Cárdenas in order to do this.
Well, that makes sense. In the Patriot community, there's been a lot of discussion about Interstate 35 and how it hurts our sovereignty and there'll be foreign contractors. And we got a break. Alexander, hold on, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. We're visiting today with Mr. Alexander Bachman. His website is alexanderbachman.com. That's B-A-C-K-M-A-N, Bravo, Alpha, Charlie, Kilo, M-A-N, alexanderbachman.com. That's the English language portion of his website, and he's moved around some things, especially for today. Invasion maps, United States, and showing the routes that will be taken by the Communist Chinese and the Russians to invade the United States. And we're talking just before the break about Interstate 35 and Mexican Highway 85 and how they're connected up there at Laredo. Alex, before the break, I was starting to talk about how nobody talks about why Interstate 35 is being improved and built in the first place. And the reason, in my opinion, is that they're going to need it. They're going to need it because the upcoming earth changes and rising ocean levels are going to wipe out existing infrastructure, which includes interstate highways and railroads. And Interstate 35 goes right through the middle of the grain belt, which is the real prize, I believe, for the Russians and the Chinese. They want that grain belt. There's no place on the planet that grows as much grain as efficiently as the Great Plains of the United States. And your banker has certainly confirmed that the Russians do have plans to invade the United States. Buying a province, a state in another country like Russia is planning to buy this Tamaulipas. I'm not sure how to say Tamaulipas.
Tamaulipas, yeah.
Tamaulipas. That's pretty strange. I mean, it's a massive undertaking. Once you've bought it, you have to provide for all these people, provide government administration, and what a logistical undertaking to buy a state in another country. As far as we know, they weren't successful. Is that accurate?
Yes, they were not successful. According to my source, he mentioned that the negotiations were almost going to be signed and everything was going to be approved. But at the last moment, the president at that time, Miguel de la Madrid, did not go through with the deal. Also, Baja California was going to be put up for sale. Now, in a respect, we see a situation where when we talk about the military movements into a third world war, because that's where we're going right now. I mean, look at all the movement of troops around the world, all the armament that's being moved that was shipped last year to Diego Garcia up in the Indian Ocean. I mean, we're seeing huge amounts of weapons being moved all over the place.
It's called pre-positioning. It's called pre-positioning. That's what you do before a war.
Yes, and they're pre-positioning everything, getting everything set in place. Now, China probably negotiated with Obama in order to stay this invasion, I mean, to not go through with it as of yet, because I believe, I mean, I know it's a bit of a stretch, but what if Obama is a Chinese operation? I mean,
well,
just look at what's happening to the United
everybody,
States.
His closest, you know, the people that his mentors is what I'm trying to say. His mentors as a young man in his 20s and so forth were all communists. Yeah, but you have interesting testimony from a truck driver down near Guatemala. Tell us about that.
Yes, in the state of Chiapas, we have a contact that contacted us a couple of years back. He was crossing over through Tapachula. This is the southernmost city that connects with Guatemala down in southern Mexico in the Yucatan Peninsula, basically. And he was coming, he was driving his truck, he was going through the border. And as he was going to get to the border, he passed through these vegetation areas, jungle basically, and he saw very clearly in the jungle rows and rows of tanks that are with Russian and Chinese insignia on them. I mean, he was sure of what he saw. He was very worried, I mean, when he emailed us back then. And we took note of that. We especially took note of that because that confirms many things that we have been researching for many years. I mean, because we research all types of things, not only geopolitics. We research all kinds of things, terrorism, biological terrorism, nuclear terrorism, chemical terrorism, all these trends that are happening in the world with respect to our national sovereignty in Mexico, which is now being being destroyed as we speak, in order to prepare Mexico to be a failed state. So when we see tanks being reported on the southern border hidden in the jungle of Guatemala, that is worrisome. That is worrisome.
Now, what would it take, Alexander, to get photographs of these tanks? Any idea?
Well, it would require an intelligence operation to go down there, fly down to Chiapas, drive down the border into Guatemala, and just go rent a car and become a tourist for a day, you know?
Absolutely.
That's what it takes. We need Americans that live in Guatemala, because there have to be Americans there living in Guatemala that could just get in their car and go drive down the highway, see if they see anything in the jungle, or right. just ask questions right. around, because I think it's necessary to get that intel or that information out.
Well, I agree. A friend of mine was a missionary in Guatemala off and on for several years. I'm not in touch with anybody at the moment who's down there, but maybe I can network and find someone. Getting the photographs would be incredibly important, I believe, to help people understand that this is real and they need to be getting ready for it.
I totally agree, John, especially when we come into consideration of we have some maps on our website.
Hold on,
now.
Alexander, hold on. We got a break coming up. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Here's more of John Moore on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 30th of January. Quick reminder, Freeze-Dry Guy does have the food. Mountain House has discontinued selling number 10 cans of food to the public. They stopped selling to some of their smaller, newer distributors. The older, larger distributors like Freeze-Dry Guy are still getting the food. Freeze-Dry Guy does have two warehouses topped off, well-inventoried with the food. Give him a call tomorrow. Now, he's on Pacific time, about 9 o'clock Pacific time. If you want preferential treatment, go to the head of the line in terms of getting your order processed and out the door. Mention the John Moore Show. He and I are both veterans of the 12th Special Forces Group, Airborne. And he'll take care of my people. So let him know that you listen to the John Moore Show. His toll-free number is 866-404-3663. I say again, 866-404-3663. His website is freezedryguy.com, and there's a link to my website, thelibertyman.com. If you're putting together an electrical system for your home, your farm, your ranch, talk to Rick Salata about a Edison battery, a critical component of a well-engineered system, an Edison battery that will help you have dependable, economical electricity for decades. Rick Salata, his special website he set up is ZapWorks, Z-A-P-P, that's Zebra Alpha Papa Papa, ZapWorks.com. His cell phone number, he's on Mountain Time. I'd call him about 9 o'clock Mountain Time tomorrow, 406-834-3611. I say again, 406-834-3611. Quick reminder, if you're a new listener, you haven't been to my website is thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. My new two DVD set, we now have a second disc in addition to the original one, is now available. If you already have the first, you can buy the second one for only $12, shipping included. Global warming, what the government isn't telling you. I touch on some of the topics we're talking about today. And my toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Alex, are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm right here, John.
Okay. Now, Alex, your website is alexanderbachman.com. That's B-A-C-K, Bravo Alpha Kilo, Bravo Alpha Charlie Kilo Man, Bachman.com. People can find a lot of information there, can't they?
Yes, with respect to the website, we just put up a forwarding service from alexanderbachman.com, so it's easier to get to the concienciaradio.com website. We've become the number one alternative Hispanic news source with respect to this type of information. So when you get to the site, it's going to forward you to our main site in Spanish, and then just click on the top banner. You'll see there, access our site in English, and you'll see the headlines there that we've put up in English about the communist invasion of America. You'll have enough there to really do the research and understand how grave the situation really is, not only for the United States, but for also us in Mexico. I mean, remember, we're a Christian nation as well.
Yes,
we're
sir.
Worried, but people here, people here are so ignorant, they don't even understand the threat. Just to get some intel by you, so you get an idea of how grave the situation is, we have an author, Scott Goldbrunson. He wrote a book called The Silent Invasion, which is not available anymore on the Internet, because he was threatened. He's been threatened because of publishing this book. And let me just go through some points here of what we know about the Chinese here in Mexico operating. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay. In November 1998, while traveling through Texas, this person heard some disturbing rumors. People are supposedly seeing Chinese soldier in the Mexican desert. At least one Texan decided to go down and look for himself. He didn't make it back alive. Then came a curious story, forwarded to this person by the editor of a national publication. A woman in Texas reported that her relatives had warned against returning to the family's ranch in Mexico. Foreign soldiers were said to be there. It wouldn't be safe coming in contact with them. When she traveled to Mexico and met her relatives, the woman learned that the strangers were Asians who were preparing to attack the United States. Scott Goldbrunson is a writer who went to Mexico and talked with the people about the Chinese troops. He collected stories from Border Patrol officers, from Mexican policemen, fishermen, and others. The testimony he gathers in his book, Silent Invasion, suggests that a military supply operation is underway in Mexico. Here are the main points. Number one, China is pumping arms, ammunition, men, and uniforms into Baja California through the port of Ensenada. Fishermen of Ensenada know something is going on, said Goldbrunson. They've seen it with their own eyes, but no one listens to poor fishermen. They're dirty drunks who smell like fish, like the fish they catch. They might be the first to witness the Chinese move on the United States, but no one will listen. Last week, last Saturday, I went to speak personally with the fishermen in the port. They told me that the Mexican military and the Mexican Navy have a very strict control right now in the port. Nothing gets in without being checked. No containers come in to Mexico without being opened, each one individually, which is good. They have biometrics on all the employees and personnel, including the fishermen that work in the port of Ensenada, which is also good news. But they also verified that 8 months ago, a very big cache of arms was being offloaded onto the port of Ensenada. And the military came in and took the thing under control. But that's one thing that I wanted to mention. Go ahead, John.
Okay. The cache of arms was, do we know who was bringing it in? Do we know who was bringing it in?
No, I couldn't get that information. They did not know.
Okay.
Number two, communist bloc troops are in Mexico. There are small military encampments in the Mexican desert where troops from various communist countries are based. Judging by the rifle ammunition used, these are highly trained special troops from Cuba, North Korea, China, and possibly Russia. They appear to operate in mixed groups, ethnically combined. According to witnesses, Mexican officials receive cash bribes for helping to maintain and conceal these troops. Anyone who threatens to expose them faces death. Number three, Chinese military supplies are being smuggled into the United States. According to Border Patrol officers, U.S. officials are allowing trucks from Mexico carrying Chinese ammunition to pass the border without question. This only makes sense if officials responsible for the border are in the pay of Red China.
Hold on. This is the border from Mexico going into the United States?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
According to this report that I have here from the book Silent Invasion by Scott Goldbrunson, Border Patrol officers who've tried to blow the whistle have been frightened into silence. One officer died in a suspicious car accident after telling Goldbrunson that he feared for her life. At one border crossing alone, 30 of 40 trucks loaded with Chinese military supplies were entering the United States per day. It would appear that the Chinese are setting up ammunition dumps for troops or insurgents throughout the Southwest.
Well,
and number four,
it won't just be ammunition. It'll be medical supplies, communications equipment, blankets, tents. Everything that they need will be pre-positioned.
And then we have the fourth report coming in. Communist guerrillas in Mexico expect that the United States will soon be brought to its knees. Quoting, "I am the leader of La Conquista," a Mexican guerrilla told Goldbrunson. "The plan is to take Mexico from the imperialist pigs of the United States that hold the Mexican people in poverty." The guerrilla chief added that Fidel Castro was the only brave man to stand up to you. When Gulbranson suggested that conquistas needed more than AK-47s to fight the United States, the chief explained that the Mexican people are resourceful. And besides this, Mexico, quoting, has friends throughout the world who would help us. As Gulbranson was leaving the secret meeting place, the guerrilla boss said, "You tell the fat Americans about the real Mexico. You tell them their day to pay is coming fast, coming very fast." So basically, the author of this report on the Internet, which is there's a link on our site to this report, The Silent Invasion by Scott Gulbranson, written by J.R. Nyquist, who's personally in contact with the author.
I know J.R. very well, yeah.
Okay. J.R. was emailed by Gulbranson stating the following in the email: "I've been followed, bumped with a car, and these cars have also cased my house. They're always the same car, four Taurus sedans, different colors, but always the same. When they bump into me, it's usually from behind at a stoplight. I get out to exchange insurance information, and they take off. One time, the driver, always white males between 25 and 35 years of age, told me I was lucky, I didn't get killed, and then they speed off. I reported them to the local police, and their tags are always retired. The casing of my house, I've always reported, and each time the police never do a thing. I've also been followed on foot when I am in New York City, and also several times shopping with my family. Always, it is the same-looking white male who follows me enough to make it known. Almost like they want me to know and that I be scared, which I'm not. I also have been approached by attractive women who will flirt with me. I am married with two kids, and they say cryptic things like, 'You look like you're a safe person,' or 'Be careful not to get hurt.' These all come out of thin air and have no context." So, you see, this information is extremely sensitive, considering the times that we're living right now. And to get this information out to you is like, I'm risking my life on a daily basis. I mean, just last year we had three death threats. We had an active cell coming in from, apparently, U.S. intelligence into Mexico to kill me and my family. We had to be in safe houses last year for a couple of months until things cooled down. So when we go out as Mexican journalists and give this information out to you, the American listeners, to you, John, Dr. Bill Deagle, it's because we're worried too. You see, we don't want this to escalate into a silent coup d'etat of the United States, because this puts not only puts our children at risk, it puts the entire world at risk.
It
the United
does.
States
it
is
does.
The last country in the
Alex,
world.
Alex, we got a couple of calls here. Let's take some calls. Yeah. Tom from Georgia. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, I know I don't have much time. I'll cover this real quickly. I have to tell you, you know, this had been planned. The first time they tried this set up was 77 years ago. Okay, 1933, they're going to use our troops. 1960, they're going to use our troops. 1972, they're going to use our troops. They realized it wouldn't work. 1974, Nixon then called off his coup. I've got all the details. I'm not covering the detail, but I got the details. And they planned and realized that they could not use our troops because they couldn't depend on them to fire on American citizens. So they set up Red Dawn. Remember that movie Red Dawn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a wargaming exercise, okay? So once that was set up and you had Oliver North, who's the Knights of Malta, and you had Reagan and you had Nixon and you had Carter and all these traitors, okay, what they did was they set up FEMA for continuity in the case of a natural disaster. And by 1990, they did a questionnaire and realized for sure they could not depend on American troops to fire on American citizens. That's when they started bringing in European troops. There's over 6 million of those suckers in the United States today. Okay, they're here. All right, now, what they're going to do is they want to vacate the Southeast first, and they want to get rid of people from there and move them inboard. They're going to use felons out of California. They've been letting them go since November of last year. They're trained in the Christian Identity Program, which is a racist, Aryan-type program that's masked as Christian. It is not. It is a New Age program. And then they're released out of prison in little groups. They're trained in Blackwater, and then they're given mediocre jobs, security, whatever, and they will use felons to take the place of the police when martial law is declared.
Okay.
Okay, that's what they're going to do.
Okay. Tom, we appreciate your call. We need to move on here. Any comments or response to that, Alex?
Yeah, Tom, very interesting information that you just relayed. I mean, Blackwater has been trying to hire university students down here in Mexico.
Really?
Even here in Ensenada, yes. Last year this happened. I mean, a Dutch student that was in an exchange program over here, he was they approached him outside of the campus and asked him to join Blackwater services. So, and he came up to me, you know, because I was a university professor at the time, and he told me this personally. So, you know, yeah, we
in
have
the States, I believe the only personnel they hire in the States are prior military. I'm not aware of them hiring civilians off the street, is my awareness.
Well, they told him that they would train him with everything. Another curious thing that I just remembered, back in 1999 when I was in Tijuana residing, there was a man, he was selling newspapers in a newsstand, and he said, because I was very angry with something that happened with my vehicle, with the government, I left the office angry and shouting, and this government does not work. And he said, if this government doesn't work, he told me, just call me if you want. I'll give you my number, and we can get you all the weapons you want from the Chinese right now. If you want to start a revolution, he said. So, imagine that. I mean, a guy in a newspaper stand having contacts with these people, it's like they have all the weapons they need. So, yeah, it's just a matter of time that this is really going on right now. So I think that NORTHCOM, the Northern Command, has to pay attention to this information. It's very sensitive.
Well, I think, you know, I know people are connected with NORTHCOM, and I know they're aware of these things, Alex. And let's take another call here. Ron in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ron.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
In another building, I have some photocopies of photos, generations, maybe second or third or something. It's not that clear. But it shows Russian military rocket equipment walking down a road through Mexico in the back of trucks. And you could see like a little Mexican house or hacienda, whatever they call them, in the background. Now, I have a few photos, and if I cannot locate them, I have a man to get in touch with who generated those and can probably forward me some more information. But interestingly, this goes back 15, 20 years, maybe a little bit more. And in the collection of stuff that I have over there is also, oddly, a photograph or photocopy of a clipping. I think it's out of the Brownsville, Texas newspaper. And, John, you may be able to, you know, comment on this. That some years back, there was a mass of Russian troops training or something close to the Texas-Mexican border, and nobody knew anything about this, and the threat was felt to be so imminent, a detachment of our special forces went down across the Mexican border to meet them. And the Mexican government found out about this and got very, very indignant about it. And whether it was just a mix-up or something is not known. But from what your guest does say, I do believe that there are going to be problems, because I have copies of photos of this stuff, and if I do find this stuff or I acquire it again, I'll go ahead and scan it and send it to you.
It sounds good. We look forward to that, Ron. Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Let's take Rifleman Steve. Go ahead, Rifleman Steve.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, your guest...
Hold on, Rifleman. We got a break.
Come on.
Hey, Mike. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Today we're visiting with Mr. Alexander Bachman. His website is alexanderbachman.com. That's Alexander, B-A-C-K, Bravo, Alpha, Charlie, Kilo, Bachman.com. And I think you'll be the last caller this hour because we're just quickly running out of time. Go ahead and continue, please.
Yes. Does your guest know that I've talked to several Mexican nationals who told me that in order to cross the border south into the U.S., they have to pay the Zetas a certain amount in order just to cross, and if they don't, they're threatened or even killed.
Well, yes, no. The Zetas have taken control of Tamaulipas. I mean, basically, there's no law in the northern side, northeastern side of Mexico right now.
Yes,
I mean,
and if you heard anything about, like I've mentioned on John's show, the military going house to house in Mexico looking for weapons and even using electronic machines to sniff out ammunition. I've heard of this.
Oh, yes, and this is actively ongoing. Right now, just this week, Mexico City is being patrolled by the Mexican military. Just this week, it just started. I mean, the biggest city in Mexico, it's a metropolis of 24 million people. Now it's actively being patrolled 24 hours a day by Mexican military.
Amazing.
And I think something bigger is coming.
What are the government and the Reconquistas think's going to happen once the Chinese and the Russians get their invasion started? And if they have any success, what, the enemy of my enemy is my friend isn't always the best strategy.
Well, they're being manipulated, obviously. I mean, we're talking about a huge operation here. So they're going to be using drug gangs, street gangs, whatever, just with money in order to bribe them to get guns, weapons into the United States, create civil war, create chaos in order for them to get the troops in here. I think basically what we see is the only solution that Dr. Beagle proposed the other day with John on the show, that we need the United States to really take into consideration coming into Mexico, at least on the northern side of our border, in order to secure that, because if not, this is going to jump over into the United States, and this border war is going to start this year.
Okay. Well, Rathman, Steve, we need to wrap this up. We appreciate your call. Alex, we're going to have you as a regular guest. Your information is just so critical and so timely that we will do that at least once a month, I hope, if you're open to that idea.
Of course. It's our pleasure to be helping our friends out in the States.
Well, absolutely. Once again, that website is alexanderbachman.com. I know the music's going to come up here momentarily. We've got several callers on hold. I'll have my engineer talk to them, see if they want to hold over to the next hour. And we'll be starting up with Lucas after the top of the hour. Alexander, we pray for you and your family to be safe. I'll be in touch privately with you during the week, and we'll see what we can get going here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
God bless
Thank
everybody,
you,
and God bless America. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you got it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Alex is down there in Mexico, 68 miles south of the American border. And he's in touch with journalists all over the country and sources all over the country of Mexico, verifying and documenting the heavy military presence of Chinese and Russians in the country of Mexico, which I've been doing to my limited with my limited resources also for some period of time. And this is real. You may not want to believe it, you may not want to hear about it, but this is just as real can be. The Chinese military, Russian military presence in Mexico, pre-positioning equipment, pre-positioning supplies, and having their men do training operations, getting ready and preparing to invade the United States of America. That, in fact, is what's going on down there, ladies and gentlemen, and that's my reality. I don't know what your reality is, but that's my reality. So I expect the music to be starting here shortly, and when we come back, Lucas will be our guest, all things being equal, and we'll talk about something else of equal importance. As the music, stay tuned, we'll be right back.